please, don't start saying, yeah, that's my husband, all right. And husbands don't say, boy, he's got my wife pegged right. Don't do that. Not because you're not telling the truth. You're both right. This is the exact truth about your husband, but he's right too. This is the exact truth about you. So what you need to do is take it for yourself. Don't try to give it to somebody else. Nothing worse than a person who goes get a prescription at the drugstore and then tries to peddle it to everybody else. There's laws against that. The first characteristic of the boisterous individual, the one that does not want to be told by God through a man what's wrong with him or her, they're crude. That's what boisterous means. Crude means those that lack grace. This is the individual, the minute you do something wrong, he'll never let you forget it. And the next time he does something wrong, he'll remember the time you did something wrong, and he'll throw it up to you to justify him doing wrong. He lacks grace. He just won't cut you any slack, or vice versa. They got a memory like an elephant for wrong. They lack grace. That's crude. They also lack tact and taste. Crude means to be not right. But the basic meaning of the word crude is to be immature. The immature need not a preacher. The immature need not the truth. Immature means that or someone who is not completely grown or developed. In other words, those of you that when you were a child and you didn't get your way, you hung a lip. Mm-hmm. And you got upset. And you didn't want to talk to anybody. And now that you hear something you don't want to hear, you get upset and you don't want to talk. You're immature. You're still acting like a kid. You haven't grown up. Immature means not completely grown or developed. Remember when you were a child and your brother or sister or the neighbor kid, somebody did something wrong, said, I'm going home to mom. I'm going to go tell my mom. Then you grow up, you have a disagreement with your husband or your wife, and everybody runs home to mama. You haven't grown up. You're still immature. You're crude, in other words. And here's the difficulty, ladies. If you're crude, all you can do is attract another crude one just like you. And men, if you're crude, you're going to attract a crude woman. So it doesn't matter how many times you marry or how many times you divorce, you keep doing the same thing over and over again. You're crude. You're immature. You're not completely grown or developed. The only way that you can react to things is the way that you did as a child. And if all else fails, holler and scream. That's childish. Immature also means not finished or perfected. The immature person never finishes anything. They're the chief procrastinators of the world. I was going to say prognosticators. That too. They never finish anything. They have an attention span about that long. They start a lot of things. But boy, do they have such a hard time finishing anything. See, that's childish to have that kind of attention span. I can remember when I was that way. One time I wanted to build model airplanes, so I bought a bunch of them, and I had them all started, and nothing finished. It was just a bunch of sticks. I had a room full of sticks, and none of them were ever finished. My mother said, when are you ever going to finish it? I lost interest in it. That's childish. And you see, when you marry someone like that, just won't finish what he starts. You got an immature person on your hands. Well, how did you get someone like that? Because you're immature. See, because if you were mature and he was immature, then you're guilty of child molestation. We'll put you in jail for that, my friend. That child sexual abuse, you pervert, you. No, you know, you're both a couple of kids. Takes one to know one, remember that. You see, what I'm trying to tell you here is if you will change what you are, you will attract what you are. And that'll be the solution. Right now, that's the problem. You've attracted what you are. So you're immature. And the immature person does not want to grow up because maturity brings with it responsibility. And the only way that you can know what you're responsible for is you have to be told what your job is, and you hate to be told what your job is. You don't like for it to be lined out and say, this and this and this is what you need to do. You hate that. It's a sign of immaturity. The immature person, the boisterous person, the one that's whole, also has the following characteristic: they're coarse. And coarse means to be of poor quality, harsh, and vulgar. You know, I can remember a few years ago when the only people that talked vulgar, by and large, were men. That's not that way anymore. Everybody's vulgar now. We've got a lot of whole people now, don't we? We got vulgar people in this room, by the way. And I'll tell you why I say that, because I know what vulgar means and you don't. Yes, I know that it means indecent and obscene. But let me tell you else what else vulgar means. It means to enjoy and employ that that is common and that that is popular. That's vulgar. In other words, when you only can accept in your mind that that you've always heard, that that's common, that that you already like, and that that's popular, by the way, that's the only thing you want to hear. That kind of individual, mark it down, ends up acting indecent and obscene. And they talk filthy, too. But let me tell you why they talk filthy. See, all words that come out of your mouth originate in your mind. Now, if the only thing you let into your mind is what's common and popular, then you're not going to get a whole lot of truth in there, because truth is not common and truth is not popular. Now, some will say, well, I'm not vulgar. I don't talk that way. Listen to yourself the next time you go like this with a hammer and hit your thumb with an, or your husband does something you don't like. I mean, you really get upset. Then you'll know whether you're vulgar or not. And you know what happens then? Something happens very quickly. You get a pain. You get something happens very quickly. And you try to reach in your mind for something to say, and there's nothing there. But boom, 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 boom. That's all that's there. And then you, I didn't mean that. Yes, you did. That's all that's there. Because you have put up a fence. And you will not accept anything that isn't common, which means something you've always believed and you like, and that mama liked and daddy liked, and your church always used to tell you how wonderful you were. And you can go to church and the only thing they say is, give us a lot of money and praise the Lord. Praise the Lord and pass the basket. And they don't tell you what's wrong with you. Keep your money. In fact, if you need some, I'll give you some. But I'm going to tell you what's wrong with you, my friend. See, the problem is your course. Now, how can two people keep a marriage together or any relationship together when any pressure situation causes you to reach into your mind for a response and everything there is vulgar? That's why your kids learn those four-letter words before they learn mama, which is also a four-letter word, come to think of it. And so is papa. If you don't believe me, walk by any school that you want, or just listen to little kids. I go out to the parking lot to my car, and little kids like this. And I tell you, the Playboy Channel doesn't play some of the stuff these kids are talking about. I mean, they're angry at each other, and, you know, we used to get upset at each other as kids, but I didn't know those words until later. I'm going to tell you the story and how I learned one of the famous words. I went out, and these guys, big guys, you know, I was just 4 or 5 years old. I wanted to be one of the guys. And I noticed these 10 and 12-year-old kids, every time they got mad at each other, they wanted to say something with intensity, they would use this word I'd never heard before. It sounded strange. I'd never heard that word. But every time they were upset, they would use that word. So I went home. I didn't know what it meant. Sitting at the kitchen table, I reached for a piece of pie or something. My sister reached for it, and I said, and I used that word. There was, it's like that Disney World thing you see on TV. See, there were stars, and I saw the ceiling, and I didn't understand. But see, what happened is I did a somersault back on my chair. See, my grandfather did one of these, whack. I said, man, he really doesn't like that word. But I didn't know what it meant. I know one thing. I didn't know the meaning, but I do know one thing, and I learned, don't do that again. See, vulgar, it was what was common and popular. I saw it, and when they said it to each other, everybody laughed. I thought, what is the matter with this man? When I heard it at the park, they laughed at each other. Something wrong with this man. Take him to the doctor. It was common and popular at the park. Whew, man. A man gave me plastic surgery and once they didn't recognize me for a week around that place. Even to this day, even the thought of using that word, I'd like to throw up, you know? I always had problems saying that word. I have bad memories about that word. But see, the individual, this person who's whole, this individual who doesn't want to be told what's wrong with them, become vulgar. And then from vulgar, they go to unmannerly. You see, because that's what boisterous means. You make excuses for your vulgarity. Unmannerly means to show poor manners, to be rude and discourteous. A rude person is simply someone who has something wrong with them and doesn't want to know. So they mask it in being rude. Now, rude is an interesting word. Yeah, I'm sure you know rude people. I'm sure you've been rude. In fact, you've probably said, pardon me for being rude. Do you know what the word rude means? Be careful the next time you use this word. Rude means ignorant. Pardon me for being ignorant. That's no excuse. Now the rude want to remain ignorant. That's why you have problems with this preacher and these messages, because they take away your ignorance. And there goes your excuse to be rude. Because that's what rude means. It means to be ignorant. It means an individual who does something and they don't know better. Now as a child, that's what your mother said. Well, she's just a kid. She doesn't know any better. That's why all kids are rude. Do you ever notice how kids are rude? They'll interrupt you anytime. They don't care. You could be, listen, I was invited once to a family's home some years ago, and they were trying to put the dog on, you know, the preacher was there. And this kid was sitting there, and he don't care. His kids are rude. So we're very quiet, and the man says, preacher, would you lead us in a word of prayer for the meal? And I said, yes, I'd be glad to. So I'm preaching and I'm praying in my most low, most religious voice that I could come up with. And this kid's looking there and he passes wind. And this poor man liked to die of embarrassment. Kid could care less. Kids are rude. Care less. They don't care. I felt sorry for them, but I recognized the child as ignorant. And he let something loose that was not attractive. It's not a way to influence people and win friends. But you know, during the course of the conversation in the evening, the man got real rude with his wife. And he said some things that stunk. And then she said some things that stunk. And you know what they were doing? They were being just as rude as that child. They were passing something that stunk. It wasn't true, and it wasn't right, but it was immature. That's when you find fault with each other, and you wait until you have another person there, and then you casually pass this wind to embarrass, just like that child, embarrass the dickens out of those people. And then before the night was over, he was doing the same thing to his wife, just casually mentioning things to make her look bad in front of me. And then she started the same thing. I thought, my God in heaven, don't these people know what they're doing? Next time I come to this home, I'm going to bring me a gas mask. There's a lot of ways to be rude. My God in heaven, you got to start listening to what you're saying. See, all of these characteristics, all of these things are indicative of what's inside of you. And what they're trying to tell you, there's a sickness inside of you that you won't talk about, so it comes out in all these vulgar ways, in your manner, in your attitude, in your disposition, in what you say and how you say it. Is it any wonder you can't keep a relationship? You don't even like you. Be honest. You can't stand you. And why? Because you're rude. You're ignorant. You get some kind of a perverted joy out of making people look bad in front of another person. And before it's over, you're doing it to yourself. I've had people do that. Oh, well, I'm just no good. I'm the scum of the earth. I say, why are you doing that to yourself? If I were to say to you, you're no good, you're the scum of the earth, you say, oh, what kind of a preacher is that? I'm just repeating what you said. Why is it all right if you say it? And men, if I were to say about your wives what you say about them, they'd be fighting words, wouldn't they? But it's all right for you to say it. If I would talk about your children the way you talk to them, I can't imagine one man in this church this evening passively sitting there. If I were to walk into your home this evening after service and talk to your wife and your children and use the words and the tone that you use with them, I can't imagine you sitting there passively. But you do it all the time. You know what your problem is? You're vulgar, unmannerly, and rude. You're a boisterous individual. And the only reason you're that way is because you don't want to be cured. Now understand, I'm not faulting you for being that way. God knows we all have that problem. I'm faulting you that way because there's a cure and you don't want the cure. You'd rather be boisterous. You'd rather be rude. You'd rather be crude. You'd rather be unmannerly than to be cured. And that is something to be faulted for. Now if you don't want to hear it, don't come back here, because you're going to hear it every day until you change. And I'll know when you've all changed, because the Lord will change the message. But as long as you're here, this is what you're going to hear. So please change. I'd like to get on another subject. But the rude individual doesn't stop being rude. The next characteristic, and it's sequential. First you're crude, immature, coarse, vulgar, unmannerly, rude, and then violent. Now this is about the time when you start bouncing your wife off the wall, or she starts throwing pots and pans at you. Don't ever believe that thing about sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never harm me. That's a lie. They start throwing things at you. They become violent. Violent means to act with great physical force so as to injure, damage, or destroy. And you see, men, when you do that, you're not only damaging, injuring, and attempting to destroy your wife. There's children there watching you saying, oh, this is the way we solve problems. I see how Dad does it. First you fake a left and you cross with the right. Smash her teeth out. That's the way you do it, huh? Or you call her names and say no. Oh, Dad, thank you, Dad. I see how you do that now. I must honor my father. So the next day, Mom comes and says, clean up your room. What does the child say? No. Well, where'd they learn that? From you, Pop. That's where they learned it. From the crude, immature, coarse, vulgar, unmannerly, rude, and now violent individual. You are a minister of the devil when you do that. You're teaching people how to resolve problems in a devilish fashion. And let me tell you why you do that, because that's the way you watched your mom and dad do it. Now you're using them as a model and you're still doing that, and God said, I'd rather put another model in front of you. Why don't you do it this way? Because if you don't do it this way, you're going to do it the way you watched your mom and dad do. Acting with great physical force in order to injure, damage, or destroy. That's the man side of it. Now here it comes for you, ladies. You're violent too. Because violent also means showing strong feelings or emotions. Yeah, you know how to hurt us, don't you, ladies? You get into your emotional trips, and then you try to get as many other people to be emotionally involved with you against him. That's violent. And let me tell you what's wrong with that. That's the worst kind of violence at all, because if you went in another room, the two of you, and punched each other out, those wounds would go away. But ladies, when you seek through emotion and strong feeling to get other people on your side by getting them emotionally involved and telling the whole world, beginning with your mother, what's going on and what a beast he is, next week or next tomorrow, next day, you make up, but your mother never forgets. The neighbors never forget. Your friends never forget. You make up and now you've got them all there primed. And you got him ready, because the next time he acts up, you go again, and pretty soon everybody knows he's such a beast. Well, you've got your grounds for divorce, taking half the house, and everything else he has. Setting him up for the kill. And guys, you're stupid because you're letting yourself be set up. You're only going to get what you deserve. Can't you see that the whole world is setting you up to split asunder this thing that God has given you, which we call marriage, which is called a family and happiness? You're letting it blow up in your face, and you don't even know why. As a matter of fact, you're part of the reason you're being used to blow up your own family. And you'll always seek people that will side with you. The wife will run to her mother, the father will run to, the husband will run to hers, to his. And his mother will tell him he was right and that you're a hag. Your mother will tell you you're right and that he's a beast. And they're both right. There's the irony of it. But see, your mother and you only want to be half right. You only want to be right about him. His mother and him only want to be half right. They want to be right about you. So see, people that are half right are half wrong. Is it any wonder you can't resolve anything? Is it any wonder that then your mother and all your team, all your side, then kicks off to the other side, and then we start the game all over again. Now, if all else fails, you can always punt. And I'm trying to show you something, that you're going to play the same game over and over and over again. Until it's too late, until you have nothing else to offer. Now, what's the problem? You're whole. You don't have any need to be told. You don't have any need to be cured. This is a way of life for you. You're happy with it. You're content. Now you're violent. You show strong feelings and strong emotion. Or you're violent on the other side. You beat and you break things and you cuss and you strangle and you do things physically. Both being violent. Well, let me tell you what violent means. The root meaning of violent. It means to be emotionally disturbed. In other words, you're crazy. About the only thing that you could ever have a lasting relationship would be a squirrel, because you're nuts. That's what violent means. It means to be emotionally disturbed. Now, the man who handles his difficulties with raising his voice and cussing and trying to use physical force is emotionally disturbed. The woman, on the other hand, who tries to retaliate with emotion, with crying, with all of these emotional rebuttals and trying to get everybody else to sympathize with her, she's crazy too. You're both emotionally disturbed. That's what violent means. Now, how can you expect to put two people in one house and expect them to live together when they're both crazy? They need a keeper, don't they? See, this is a big zoo, but in your home, see, those are all the cages, aren't they? I like the Lord, you know. He's cute. He's really all right. But let me tell you what else violent means. See, to say we're emotionally disturbed, well, so what? What does that mean? How does one get emotionally disturbed? Well, let me tell you what violent means. It means to be extreme, an extremist. See, this is the individual that you tell them something and they'll take either this extreme or that extreme. They won't do what you tell them. They'll take an extreme of it. You tell your wife, I'd like to have dinner now. You never have loved me. I know your mother hates me and she told you that I'm not a good cook. That's a little extreme. Might be true, but it's a little extreme, isn't it? See, those are just emotional rebuttals, taking things to an extreme to try to cover up the fact that you are lazy and probably a lousy cook at that. The guy would probably be better off proposing to Colonel Sanders. You're an extremist. And let me tell you something else. There are people sitting in this room right now that aren't listening to what I'm saying. They're taking what I'm saying to its extreme, one or the other. Man, this guy must really hate people. No, I don't. Well, then this guy must really love him. No, I don't. I don't fall in love with the monkeys and the animals. I'm here to clean cages. That's it. And to feed you. I don't really care what you do. See, I don't love you and I don't hate you. You're not going to get me tied to you emotionally on either extreme. You're just here. If you're not here tomorrow, don't come. If you're here tomorrow, come. I don't care. See, you're so used to having people emotionally tied with you so that you can control them like a puppeteer. And you can always control. See, if you can get someone to hate you, then you can control them. You can get them angry just like this, pulling the strings. If you can get them to love you, you pull the same strings, but you're controlling them either way. And me, I don't love you. Don't hate you either. I just don't care about you, tell you the truth. Do whatever you want to do. Now, if I were married to you, you would have a different story. Your ears would be bent. They'd be burned and fried already. I'd fry your ears, man. You know that? You'd buy as best as earmuffs. Guys, talk them to death. Tell them the truth until they can't stand you anymore. And then that's in them that can't stand the truth will leave. It may take her with them, but you're free of it either way. Amen. And vice versa. Ladies, don't accept anything but truth. Tell them only the truth. When you do that, that ugly thing in him will leave. Might take him with it. That's the case, you lose two ugly things that day. Violent people. You know what you're being taught tonight? How to be peaceful and content and in control of your faculties and never again be bondage either through love or through hate to any other human being ever again in your life. Peace and contentment and happiness is what I'm teaching you here tonight. No more violent, no more emotional disturbance, no more extremes. Now let me give you the last definition of the word violent. These are the people that don't like truth. They take, they're emotional disturbed, they become extreme, and what do? It means, violent means to distort the meaning, to violate the meaning. It means literally to strangle and to twist and turn and make it something that it wasn't. You say something and say, oh, you don't love me. See, they take the meaning and they twist it. I say there's something wrong with you and you say you don't love me. Well, that's true, but that's not what I said. But if you want to hear that, just back up a minute. I don't love you. Now, let's go back to what I said. You're crazy. See, but they'll distort that and say, well, that means you don't love me. No, it doesn't. It means you're crazy. Now, here's what means I don't love you. I do not love you. See, that has that's a different sentence with a different meaning. Now, how can I say, you are crazy. Now, that does not mean I don't love you. That means I think you're crazy. This means I don't love you. I don't love you. Oh, then he hates me. No. This means I hate you. I don't hate you. I don't hate you. Now that we got those two out of the way, we go back to what I started. You're crazy. Oh, you don't love me then. You don't love the Lord. Look, if I say to you, you are crazy, how can that mean I don't love the Lord? Don't you understand English? See, with people like this, they'll take these words and they'll distort them. And if you think about the disagreements that you have in a family, you take what's said and twist it and turn it until it means what you want it to mean, and then you throw it back at him and say, why'd you say that? I say, but I didn't say that. And they've got a hammer in one hand and pliers in the other hand. They've twisted every word that I've said and hammered on it until it comes out the way they want it. Then they want me to explain it. It happens to me in counseling all the time. I'm not going to explain your foolishness. I don't understand. If you don't understand, how do you expect me to? Now from there, you become noisy. And I'm going to quit here in just a couple minutes. We got a long way to go. Sunday, you're going to see the end result of this. If we can get finished it all Sunday. Noisy. These people become noisy. These are people who don't want to hear the truth. They become noisy, just like your kids. Noisy means to be full of noise and clamorous. Now let me tell you why people get noisy. Not only because they're whole, but you know what the word noise, you know where it comes from? The root meaning of the word noise, it comes from nausea. You show me a noisy person, you show me a loud person, you show me someone that says a lot and says nothing, and I'll show you a person suffering from nausea. You know what nausea means? Well, let me stay with noise first, and then I'll give you nausea. Because the root meaning of the word noise is nausea. But noise means rumor, scandal, common gossip, and to spread the gossip and the rumor. That's noise. Now, a person who's a gossiper and spreads the rumor is spreading noise. They're noisy. Well, why are they gossipers? Why do they spread this noise? Because they're suffering from nausea. Now, what does nausea mean? Nausea comes from two words. The first part of the word means nautical. It means navy. The last part of the word means a sailor. So you know what nausea really means? Seasickness. That's what basically the word means. It means seasickness. That's nausea. Well, what causes seasickness? I hate you, I love you. I'm happy, I'm sad. I'm upset, I'm not upset. You don't love me, I don't love you. You hate me, I hate you. Ups and downs, ups and downs. And then you go to work, and you're depressed, you're down. So you stuff your face with donuts. Now you've got sugar, now you're up. And then the sugar starts wearing off, and you go down. That's why you suffer from nausea. Ups and downs. It's motion sickness. And let me tell you what the word literally means. It means sickness at the stomach accompanied with an impulse to vomit. Now let me tell you why you're nauseous, and why you're noisy, and why you suffer emotional ups and downs, and why you crave sugar, and then you crave cigarettes to get up, and then you eat potatoes and heavy stuff so that you can come down off of that high, and then you start craving a cigarette after you eat, or sugar after you eat, so you can get up. Up and down, emotional ups and downs. You know what your problem is? You're sick at the stomach, and you have an impulse to vomit. And you know what basically that means spiritually? You have a need to confess something. And that's what's wrong. There's something inside of you, and I'm talking to it right now. And it's inside of you, and it's been inside of you since you were a child. and I speak against it. And it has a need, because the word said, you must confess. Jesus said, confess for the remission of sins. And this thing in here trying to come out because you have a need to bring it out, but you don't want to hear this. So what happens, you then suffer physical nausea, which is a physical manifestation of what's happening spiritual. You have something in there you need to throw up. You have something in there you need to confess. You have something in there that makes you sick. And that's why you're up and down. And that's why you think another job, another wife, another husband, another this, another that. You're looking for something to get you up because you're down. You're nauseous. You're noisy. You're clamorous. You're whole. You're rude. You're crude. You're unmannerly. And what's causing all that? You need to vomit. That's what you need to do. But instead, you go through your whole life suffering these physical symptoms. And here I am as a man of God and a doctor of the Word of God telling you if you would throw up spiritually, you would see a change in your health. You would see the cravings. You get about 10 o'clock for that up on that sugar would be gone. You would see the things that you desire now to get you up off of your down, or that you need to come down off of your up, you wouldn't need them anymore. You wouldn't crave lard and fat and heavy meats and all this heavy food and donuts and muffins and that stuff that's like a cannonball. You wouldn't crave. You know what? Why you're craving that? Because you're so high up on these other stimulants that you got to come down. You're seasick. You're nauseous. And all that is a physical manifestation of God trying to tell you, son, daughter, there's an evil inside of you. There's something inside of you you got to confess. This thing that's causing your sickness isn't outside of you, it's inside of you. And this desire that you have to confess it every time you hear the truth and then you suppress it, well, then when you get home and you eat, you get nauseous because now you're trying to do physically what you need to do spiritually. And this individual is never going to get well on their own because they don't even know what's wrong with them. I know, I've told you. And if you want to talk to me on one-on-one, I'll prove to you that all this relates to you. You're sickening. You know why you're sick? Because you're sickening. You know why you suffer from nausea? Because you're nauseous. See, somebody spread it to you and you're spreading it to someone else. And all I'm telling you, if you would just get down to the nitty-gritty and confess it, and let's sit together and talk, I'll guarantee you, based on the Word of God, you'll never have that nauseous feeling again. You'll never desire those emotional ups and downs again. You'll never need someone to hate you that loves you. You'll never need to fight with the one that you love, because you see, it's the same thing. You fight with the people you love because when they love you, you're up here. And now you got to come down off of that. You can't live up there. You're seasick. So what do? You look for fault in your own husband, in your own children, because now you got to fight with the one that you love so that you can hate him. Well, what do you want to do? You just want to come down off of your high. And the minute you're down and you're not talking to each other and everybody hates each other, then it's time to make up, isn't it? What's time to get up back up again? It's a roller coaster. How long are you going to live like that until your marriage breaks up? Before you understand that that's an addiction you have? You have to love so that you can fight, so that you can love, so that you can fight. You have to eat sugar so you can eat fat, so you can eat sugar so you can eat fat. Can't you see you're sickening? Can't you see that it manifests in everything that you do? And can't you see how simple the answer is if you will just listen? And let me tell you something else. The price is right. I'm not going to charge you a thing. And it can't be any, I couldn't make it worse for you than you've already done for yourself. What do you have to lose? Nothing but your pride. And when that stops being important to you, we'll talk. Brother Duane, would you close the services and pray?